Hi, welcome to Story Hole,
a podcast exploring the lore behind the most important stories in the world.
So pull up a chair by the fireplace
and let us put a story in your hole. Hi, I'm Joey.
I'm Roger.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Brian.
Hey guys.
Hey. Hi. It's November now.
We survived Halloween, thank God.
Just barely though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost an ear.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm morbidly obese now.
So. Here's the thing. Is that since it is November, there's always a food aplenty, and we can get you an ear of corn to replace it.
Oh, cornucopia.
We'll just duct tape the corn to your head.
How are you going to help my my physical obesity, though?
Oh, yeah. I'm just all corn diet. I've invested in the corn this month.
That'll work, Roger, because you can't digest corn. So
that's true. Yeah, my stomach will be full. And my
Is that true, though?
No, yeah, it's just a Ren and Stimpy joke.
No, it's 100% true. You can check it. You can run that scientific experiment yourself.
You're just saying that. But the thing is, okay, so here's the question. Okay, how am I getting all the nutrients and vitamins from it? And also, if that were true, here's the thing. I think we probably can't digest the skin around the corn.
That's
but
it.
But the meat in the middle is probably.
Yeah, so as long as you chew, Roger, okay, you'll be totally fine.
So when chewing? I haven't been chewing yet.
Yeah,
when
you chugging cream corn.
Yeah, when you straight swallow your corn, that's what you see in your poop.
Cabanol.
You take shots. Yeah. Shots of those little corns that you get in the salad bar.
Roger eats his corn like an oyster. He just slurps it down.
Uh-huh. It's because I hate the taste of corn.
Yeah. You eat corn like a little bitch.
Hey, come on.
Fuck
come
you.
On.
I hate you.
Hey, come on.
Go home.
No, come on. Let's move on. Come on.
All right. We're getting a little aggressive, but I was thinking since it is November, we have all month to decide what we're thankful for, or we can pick a thing and try to be thankful for it.
Oh yeah. Maybe something like nice? I'm not thankful for now, but I'm going to try my best to be thankful for it by the time Thanksgiving rolls around.
Is it corn?
Yeah. Okay. It's not corn, but corn.
Is it the band corn?
Oh,
that's actually a good idea. We should try to do a deep dive into Korn's catalog and try to appreciate it.
I like the first album.
Oh
I
still my think God, it's kind of good.
Is that up with it though?
Is that the one with that song on it?
Yeah. Well, every song has that.
Really.
You guys remember that video where the bullet just keeps going around?
What?
I don't know what that is. What?
Yeah.
You mean the one where they bend it and it slows down time?
Oh yeah, The Matrix. I love that.
Yeah. It's Watch a this. 2.5 hour long music video with Keanu Reeves in it.
Oh yeah. It's great. I really like the parts where there's no music and he's just talking dramatically.
Yeah, it's very intense.
Okay, here's my thankful that I'm going to try to work on. I'm going to try to be thankful for just maximum physical comfort. I'm going to try to get so comfortable over the next couple of weeks and just really appreciate it. So sweatpants all the time.
Chair.
Yeah, maybe like a you know, those like Lazy Boy reclining chairs.
Ooh, cool.
Maybe I'll get one of those.
That's good.
Start putting a hot towel on my face, maybe.
Ooh, cucumber eyes.
Cucumber eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Corn ears.
Corn ears. Yeah.
Corn butt. Did I ever give you guys a hot dog massage?
What?
Do you guys know? I don't know if that, this is true. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that.
No.
No. John D., our friend John D., invented something called hot dog massage, and it's so funny, but actually kind of nice. He would get those 8 packs of hot dogs and then rub them on your back.
Are they cold or are they warm?
Yeah, do you warm them up?
They were in the refrigerator.
Wait, are they in the wrapper still, like in the container?
Yeah, in the wrapper. Yeah, yeah,
see,
yeah.
That doesn't seem nice at all because that's like sharp plastic.
Wait, hold on. You would rather have them out of wrapper? In the scenario that we're imagining right now, you're
psychopath.
Like,
for some reason, I can assume if you warmed them up and you were just rolling little hot dogs on my back, it could be pleasant.
Yeah,
I think it would just smush. But I think they must have been frozen.
Are you picturing
like more
condiments in this scenario?
Yeah, relish for sure.
Relish involved? You have to get some relish on there.
There's no too wild with hot dog massage. So I guess the answer is you've never experienced it.
No,
I'll have to show you one day.
Yeah,
Brian, what do you think we're going to be thankful for this month?
I was thinking of something. Excuse me. Come back.
You could be thankful for me for once.
Oh.
Yeah. Try to appreciate me a little bit more this month.
I don't know if I can tolerate this new overweight you, though. It makes me so angry.
Ain't not cool, man. Come on.
All right, I'll be
tolerant. Really let me have it.
Tolerant. I'll deal with Roger.
Yeah, that's a low tolerant. Bar. Try to be tolerant of me
that
this
was
month.
Freudian for sure. I'll put up with this shit. I'll be
Roger,
thankful.
He's not that. He's not so bad.
I'll be thankful of Roger, and the reason for that is I used to be a Rogers, and I feel since I've been a Rosinante, I've been much more distant. So this is my chance to kind of get closer with him again.
Yeah, listeners, that's some insider info. Brian changed his last name from Rogers to Rosinante.
Mm-hmm. So, and now you can find him online.
Yeah. I can find his home address.
Search him.
You can probably reverse find all of us that way, probably.
Enjoy.
In spirit, though, my last name is also Rosinante, so you probably can't find me because it's not legally what my last name is. Yeah.
Eventually, we'll all be Rosinantes, even you.
I would love to. If I didn't disappoint my dad, I would do it.
If you weren't a disappointment, or the idea of it being...
I guess both.
If I had no one who disappointed my dad, I would disappoint him this way.
That's just one more thing on the list.
I think my dad would be upset if I changed my last name.
My parents were pretty upset, which I was surprised by, because we weren't really even Rogers. My dad's dad was a Smith, and he was adopted, and he didn't even like his dad. So I was like, well, all right. Let's get real.
Yeah.
Kevin, this story holds about Brian's family name.
Yeah. Let's just edit this out in post, you know?
I think I'm gonna try to give things that are salads that aren't actually salads more of a try.
Oh. So like a Jell-O salad or macaroni salad.
I'm thinking more like pasta salad or potato salad.
Man, I love pasta salad.
I think that stuff
is all terrible. It's all gross.
Yeah, it sounds very gross.
Have you never had Kanita's pasta salad?
Me?
No, I never have, never would.
Oh, it's so good. So
what
good.
Do?
Is that why you married her?
Yeah. don't tell her.
Somebody's like, if you like it so much, why don't you marry it? And he was like, okay.
It's illegal to marry a pasta idea. Salad, but I guess I could marry the woman who made it.
Makes it. Next best thing.
That's something that I want to talk about for a minute, if we have the time, is that I'm really worried with all this liberal bullshit that people are going to start marrying their pasta salads, you know?
Okay. Well, if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to tell you what I'm going to be thankful for this month.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be the center of our story for this week, because I'm thankful for donuts.
Oh my god, me too.
Yeah, I love great. Donuts.
Now, I want to go on record to say the first fried pastry gets credited to the prehistoric Native Americans. They're like fossilized remains that were found like atop a prehistoric trash pile called a midden. But I actually want to talk about the modern donut and where it came from and give you the history of donuts.
Can I interject for a minute?
Crazy. Yeah.
That the like indigenous American fried dough, they still make it. If you go to like New Mexico or Arizona, and you go to usually kind of more like touristy places, there'll be somebody out there like frying dough, usually like an indigenous American, and it's fucking so good. It's so good. I love it. So that's still something that goes on today. So I didn't know that was like the origin of the donut.
They're on the side of the road, is it like you have to go to like a reservation or what?
No, when we saw them, we were typically like going to like maybe an old mission or something, you know, where people would go to like check it out and there'd be somebody there frying up some dough.
Man.
That's great.
I wonder what they fried it in.
Pig fat.
So like dinosaur oil? Fat,
probably. dinosaur oil. Mastodon oil.
Dinosaur oil. So tasty, we'll never know.
Yeah.
Because there's still the greatest tragedy.
All right, so you guys ready for the modern donut?
Yes.
So we have to start. The year is 1847, and a 16-year-old sailor named Hanson Crockett Gregory was preparing for his departure
from
a
harbor. Hanson Donut Gregory.
Hanson Donut Gregory is preparing for his departure from a harbor in like what is now Maine. He was the captain of a cargo ship that transported spices like cinnamon and nutmeg. And on one June morning, as he was walking out the door, his mother, Elizabeth Gregory, an immigrant from the Netherlands, was about to finish making her son and his crew a batch of traditional Danish pastries. She was using the sweet spices along with some lemon rind from his actual cargo. Now, they were made by frying sweetened dough in hog's fat, to answer your previous question. And she called them like ollie cooking. Which translates to oily cakes.
Much less appetizing.
Yeah, a little oily cake.
Grease cakes.
Yeah, but they were pretty sticky, so she had to coat them in powdered sugar to make sure that they, like, where you could pick them up with your hand and whatnot.
So the first donuts were the powdered sugar ones, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, isn't that kind of like similar to an apple skewer? Isn't that like essentially like a Danish donut? Is that Danish?
Apple skewer is, I mean, it's
like a pancake.
It's Dutch, maybe Danish, I don't know. But yeah, those are more pancakey, I think. They're just round.
There are other versions. So, like, you know, like how Mexican food is all kind of the same thing. It's like different variations of meat and vegetables and tortillas.
Hey, don't push your politics on me, pal.
And beans.
And beans. I bet you left out the two central parts, beans and rice. You know how all Mexican food is like, you know, meat and vegetables.
You know, pineapple and olives.
Steak and potatoes, yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, okay? But no, I was thinking because, like, it's kind of the same thing, right? It's always like some sort of sweetened, like, fried batter or something. Mm-hmm. Or it's a cookie or a cake. So fuck me. Anyway, so Hansen, he sets sail with his batch of olecokes. Not long after, they hit a storm. Hansen's eating one of the olecokes, and he realizes he needs to grab the steering wheel of the boat with both hands to steer the ship. So he takes his olecoke and shoves it onto one of the handles of the wheel, poking a hole into the pastry, creating the very first modern donut.
No way!
Let me show you some artwork real quick.
That's why there's a hole in the center, is because he had to put it on a boat.
The ship's steering wheel.
Allegedly.
Oh, this picture you just sent over is very good.
That's so funny.
We should post this on the Instagram for
listeners to see. For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
How many arms does he have?
He's got a lot of arms in this picture. I think it's it's actually like action blur, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why is the guy in the back is standing still then?
That's true.
I think it's a witch. Hanging herself. She's just so impressed by that donut placement. She's going to hang herself.
Joey, did you paint this painting? Is this your fan art?
This is my fan art. It's actually a gift. Donut. Yeah. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is kind of a tall tale, to be honest. Hansen Gregor is credited with making the first donut with a hole in it, but it's actually more of a simple story. He was a sailor when he was 16, and yes, his mother used the spices from his cargo ship to flavor her pastries, but he wasn't the captain. He didn't even hit second mate till he was 19 years old. But with that in mind, when he did bring the fried cakes on the ship, he was always dissatisfied with the amount of grease that would get soaked into the middle of the cake, as well as how much of the cake wasn't, like, cooked properly. He said they're really hard to digest, and so he actually grabbed a tin pepper can and he pushed it through the center of the cake to get rid of the middle. And in an interview in 1916, an older Hansen Gregory describes the revelation. It was the first donut hole ever seen by mortal eyes.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, those were his words.
And that's really smart. So the whole thing is that the middle wouldn't cook well, so he just got rid of the middle.
He's got rid of it, yeah.
That's right.
Do you think he was implying that donuts are halos?
Oh, maybe. They're heavenly.
Ooh.
They got the hole in the center.
That's good marketing.
Non-mortals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, eventually, he was actually able to get a tinsmith to make him a crude extruder so he could take out the middle prior to frying his own batches of his mother's Dutch recipe. And it fried evenly throughout. So he actually shared the recipe with all the cooks over all the boats that he sailed with and all the seamen he came across. That was the start of making cooking your own donut with a missing center. Now, back then, they were just called fried cakes and twisters, which begs the question, where did the term donut come from?
Yeah.
And, well, the early versions of these had hazelnuts and walnuts in the middle, so it made logical sense. They were made of dough and nuts. But actually, nut is a term that meant small, rounded cake or cookie at the time.
Oh.
So it's likely just a term that came out of slang for, like, the new circular pastry. The first time this was recorded in written form was a short story from 1808 that detailed the spread of fire cakes and donuts across the U.S. And eventually, word spread around the U.S. about the new Maine-style donut. And through word of mouth, the widespread American version of the Danish treat was deemed donut, D-O-N-U-T, as opposed to the dough-nut.
Do you think that's why they, like, nuts and bolts? Aren't the nuts, like, the circular part that tightens it in? Do you think that's why it's called that?
That's true. Nuts. Yeah.
Maybe.
They're named after, like, the cookies.
Maybe that's just, small, like, the original nuts. Things. Maybe. And that's where the donut gets its, like... circular name.
I guess we're going to have to make another episode where we research the two words dough and nut to figure out where they came from.
Nuts. Yeah, I was going to do a deep dive into nuts, the origin of nuts, and see what I come up with. I'm Google searching nuts right now. And Finding a lot of questionable material.
Joey, I noticed you paused after you said semen. Was that, were you thinking that we were going to jump in there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was nice a part of me that really wanted to go nuts on that.
If we forgot to, what, you guys want to record ourselves screaming, I could put it back in there and put a post.
You want to do it? Like,
well, three, like, one, yeah. Two,
yeah. One.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Cool.
I peaked like crazy in that. That's gonna sound terrible.
Oh, yeah, it was the highlight of your life. You're right.
I also peaked right now at 38, going crazy about that semen joke. I'm like, that was the best I've ever been.
It's all downhill from here, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, the first recorded version of the American modern spelling of the new D-O-N-U-T donut was in 1900 in a book by George W. Peck called Peck's Bad Boy and His Paw. Yeah, it's true.
No,
it's true. It's about like a rascally little kid who just gets into trouble. He just drinks coffee and eats donuts.
Man, that is a bad boy. When I think of like the city bachelor, yeah, and coffee. Eating too many donuts.
You're going to cool, start your growth.
A little kid?
Yeah.
I feel like I saw like a little kid like drinking coffee and smoking a cigarette or something. I'd be like, oh, that
cigarette
could
for sure. Yeah, yeah. Not. Yeah.
The cigarette kind of brings it home.
Yeah,
I've played dice like in the alleyway.
Munching on a donut, yeah, drinking coffee. I think like reading the newspaper and thinking about buying stocks or something.
Just yeah, totally.
I don't know. I'd be intimidated. It doesn't take much to scare me, though. Okay. Well, anyway, soon after this, donuts would seal their way into history as an American food because during the European immigration of the late 1890s and the early 1900s, immigrants would be greeted with a blanket and a donut upon arrival to Ellis Island.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Wow. I would just keep getting back in mind. Make just tons keep of immigrating blankets over and over again.
Just go back on the ship and come back over.
Meanwhile, overseas, we had American troops stationed in France during World War I. And in 1917, Evangeline Booth, who's the daughter of the founders of the Salvation Army, she wanted to help out. So Lieutenant Colonel William Barker asked her to send over some lassies from the Salvation Army. And so she picked 11 women to ship out to the front lines. It's for morale. They want to boost morale, so they want to send women over to cheer up all the...
What are lassies?
Yeah.
I think it's lassies just term. Means girls.
It's necessarily...
It's gotcha. Like Scottish, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't they say lassie a whole bunch?
See, I don't know.
Yeah. It's also a term for this dog that's really good at saving people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only one of them, though.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. But he has the heart of 11. Yeah. These women arrived in France, and two of them, Helen Perviance and Margaret Sheldon, thought they could lift the spirits of the troops by providing some home-cooked meals. But they kind of had limited supplies, and so they kind of had to choose what they could make realistically for the soldiers. And they had sugar, flour, lard, baking powder, cinnamon, and canned milk. And so they adapted the donut recipe to match the supplies, which is why we now have a new type of... We have, like, that's kind of the start of the new type of donut.
Okay.
The scent of...
Are those the ingredients of a modern donut?
Yeah, pretty much. We have, like, eggs and stuff, too. The scent of the donuts filled the camp, and lines started forming from like a bunch of soldiers because they could smell it. And they were provided handmade pan-fried donuts. And over the course of the night, they made 150 of them by hand. Each night, this became a ritual because other donut girls pitched in and they made an assembly line of cooks. And after some time, they reached a production level of 9,000 donuts a day.
Wow.
And that earned them the nickname Donut Girls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a hell of an improvement.
Mm-hmm. This tradition would continue during the Vietnam War and during World War II, with women volunteers who fully put themselves in danger for the sake of bringing up morale. They would become known as the Donut Dollies. There's a documentary where a bunch of old ladies who went to Vietnam, they talk about their experiences and they go back 50 years later, which is kind of neat. Now, news back home in America hit about these donut girls during World War I, and it found its way to the ears of a Russian refugee named Adolf Levitt. In 1920, Adolf found success running a bakery outside of a movie theater, which at the time, well, they were known as picture palaces. So, similar to the concession stands in like the modern-day theaters, the crowds would raid his shop for snacks for when they wanted to watch the movies. And Adolf Levitt was an entrepreneur by nature. He realized he could like capitalize on this if he found like maybe a more efficient way to make donuts en masse. So he built the wonderful, almost human automatic donut machine.
Almost human.
This is called, yeah. Which is not only capable of producing thousands of donuts in his Harlem bakery, but it was displayed behind a window as an attraction to customers.
Like Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, exactly.
That name makes it sound like a cyborg.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like artificial intelligence donut maker.
Well, we don't know what it's capable of. Maybe it's learning.
Yeah. Is that how the machines took over?
Yeah. It's a hybrid episode about donuts and Terminator.
Uh-huh. I guess it makes sense because if you programmed it to make as many donuts as possible, eventually the robot's going to think, well, humans are eating these donuts. I have to kill all the humans.
Humans are ruining my supply.
Yeah.
That is one way to, because as much as possible would be every human eating a donut every moment of every day. But if you kill off the humans, then that makes that goal much easier.
Then you can have free time.
I think you're onto something.
Much easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Terminator 6.
All right. So around 15 years later, his donuts were a prime exhibit in the 1934 Chicago World's Fair. And donuts had actually become a symbol of success. He went on to found major companies as well as a movement for donuts in the U.S. called the Donut Corporation America, which also had a mascot named I'm a Dunker. And the reason for that is because it was just becoming trendy to dunk your donut in milk. Oh. And the reason for that is because earlier that year, 1934, a romantic comedy came out called It Happened One Night. And in it, there's a scene where Clark Gable corrects his counterpart, Claudette Colbert's, dunking technique.
Huh.
This scene, along with a celebrity-endorsed membership organization called the National Dunking Association, made donut dunking a viral sensation. Would you guys like to see the scene?
Sure.
Yeah, please. Also, I don't dunk my donut. Do you guys?
I've never known it to be dunked in milk.
I would do that if I was like a kid. But I mean, I can't be bothered to go buy milk. who does that?
Okay, watching this thing. Mm-hmm.
Donut. Good.
We rode around all afternoon. Father was frantic.
Okay. She's dunking her donut, just fisting it into the coffee. Yeah. And he's disgusted by it.
He's so unhappy about it.
Where did you learn to dunk? In finishing school?
Oh, now don't start telling me I shouldn't dunk.
Yeah.
Of course you shouldn't. You don't know how to do it.
Dunking is an art.
Don't let it soak so long. Dip and
that's
drop.
Actually, he's got a point. He just said that you have to dunk fast because she's just letting her donut sit right in that cup. And, he's like, your whole donut's going to fall apart because it's too soggy. That's a very valid point.
Well, if you're eating cereal, right, the best part of the cereal is the milk at the end. Because it's got all the sugar and stuff in it. So
she's making donuts.
She's making
You can't have 50% of each. You have to have 75% donut, 25% milk.
Yeah. This makes me feel, I want to live in an era where there are scenes about donut dunking because it's relevant to society. Man, what a good time, right?
Yeah.
I want to live in a society where the heated issues are about how to dunk a donut.
Yeah. Instead of if everybody's going to survive.
Maybe, yeah, if we're going to have a civil war or not.
All right. Now, throughout all this, there was another man, I guess, another boy. He was a poor young boy named William Rosenberg who was growing up, and he got to witness the rise of the American donut. And after a bunch of interesting things, he's actually a very, very interesting man. But anyway, we'll pocket that for another day. He's the guy who basically invented the modern food truck. This led him to the world of like this idea that a quality drip brewed coffee with real milk would be a thing that he could probably market. And that wasn't common in the 1930s and 40s. So he started making like his own super marketable coffee and charging twice the price for twice the amount with an additional raise in quality. And it worked. But he realized that in his like his food trucks, 40% of his sales were going towards donuts that people were buying in addition to the coffee. And he wanted to streamline the process to make quality donuts that matched the quality coffee that he was making. So he made a few partners and got some custom machines made and eventually made enough money to start a shop called Open Kettle, which sold a huge variety and had in-shop seating for customers, which was a new thing for morning coffee and donut shops. After a year, he made some major money and he decided that he wanted to start franchising and he renamed his shop to Dunkin' Donuts. And this business model is actually what paved the ground for all the massive franchising we see today in like fast food and stuff. So Dunkin' Donuts, the guy who invented Dunkin' Donuts, is the reason that we have things like, like McDonald's is that and Taco Bell's all over the place.
Really?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He's actually...
So Dunkin' Donuts is the first major chain?
It's the first major... Yeah, I guess, yeah, first major chain. There are some other, like, big, like, donut things that were kind of happening around that time, but he's the one who invented the franchising system for
wow. Yeah.
That's they're wild. Actually... The U.S. was trying to, like, block it in certain states and stuff, too. They were kind of like... You know, like, the whole, like, monopoly thing is not okay? I think it's like... It was, like, something similar to that. I can't...
I ain't no lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so other major brands began popping up, such as like Winchell's Donuts, which delivered donuts in bright red boxes to stand out. And in Southern California, there are these two Chinese Cambodian refugees named Ted, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, N-G-O-Y.
Bundy.
Ted Bundy. So Ted Noy and Ning Yang, they wanted to make a shop of their own and they wanted to employ other refugees in need of work. That sounded stupid. Let me try that again. But they couldn't afford the bright red boxes of their competitors, so they went for the leftover stock, which was pink. Now, suddenly, hometown donut shops started springing up, overtaking many of the franchised market through sheer oversaturation and variety. And their shop in particular was one of the standout mom and pop places. So everyone was suddenly seen walk around with these pink boxes, but also they live close to like Hollywood. So whenever, you know, their audiences coming to see movies and they would see someone else carrying a box of donuts in the movies, they always were carrying pink boxes.
I'd never even thought about that. Yeah. Donut boxes are always pink.
It's so weird.
They're always pink. Weird.
Always
pink? Yeah, pretty much.
In Southern white? California, no. Majority of them are pink, but it's spread, but it's not necessarily everywhere in the U.S. It's just, but that's because of just all these random things kind of coincidentally coming together. Yeah. And that's kind of where we are today. Although I do have some interesting donut facts to share with you guys.
I like that mom and pop. One of my favorite things about donuts is that the industry is dominated by mom and pop shops, right? Like the big chains like Dunkin' Donuts, people just kind of shit on them usually. They're not really that popular.
Yeah.
It's all just like the little family-owned donut shops on the corners. Krispy Kreme fucking sucks.
I hate it.
Yeah, I love... Man, it's such a good industry. For a long time, I wanted to work in a donut store.
Yeah.
And... I tried a bunch. I applied a bunch of times and could never get a job there.
Why?
I think because...
Why did you want to do that?
Why did I want to? I don't know. Something about it seems so charming. You work early in the morning. You get up at like 2 a.m. and you're making donuts in the night. And then doesn't that seem great? It just seems like a great lifestyle to me.
You could do that in any bakery.
Yeah, but donuts though, you know?
you do see the irony in the situation though, right, Raj?
Why?
You really wanted so much to make these pastries with a hole in the middle, and you couldn't do it, which left a hole in your heart.
So I guess I did make the most important donut of all.
Yeah.
My sad broken dreams.
I thought you were going to say that the irony was that he liked it because it was mom and pop stuff, but it's the origin of the franchise.
That's true. I wanted to ruin the mom and popness by bringing my big business attitude.
Man, you'll make it someday. And if you don't, thanks. I just want you to know that friendship was really the donut all along. Okay.
One last thing I want to add. You can cut this out if we're going too long, but there was the donut shop close to where we lived that had a help wanted sign. And I was like, this is my perfect opportunity. So I went in there and I was like, I would love to work here. And they're like, okay, just leave your resume. And I was like a donut resume, like a resume of my donut making experience. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, well, shit. So
did you try to make one?
Make a donut or make a resume? I should just made a resume of all the donuts I eat.
I can just imagine you like stapling a donut to a piece of like paper. I mean, like, here it is.
I made this.
This is my best attempt. Yeah,
I made this. you guys want some donut facts?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
These are my favorite. Yeah. There's a billion facts out there. These are the ones I like the best. So, first one, National Donut Day is recognized by the U.S. It was invented in 1970, but it was actually established properly in 1938 as a way to raise money during the Great Depression, and it's the first Friday of June.
So is that a recognized holiday?
It's a recognized holiday. It's a national holiday.
Wow, yeah. That's cool. We need to celebrate that more.
Yeah. The largest donut was an American jelly-filled donut that weighed...
Can I guess how big it is?
Yes, guess.
I'm going to guess it was 14 feet across and it weighed over 2 tons.
Are we all toss a guess and see how close we can get?
Yeah. We're all guessing.
You said how much, Roger? 14 feet?
14 feet across, two tons in weight.
Mm. And we got to do both weight and size?
Yeah, if it's jelly filled.
Okay.
That's a dense donut.
I'm going to go 50 feet diameter.
Ooh.
And 30 tons.
I'm going to go smaller, 10 feet, 1 ton.
I don't know how long it was because I just asked how much it weighed, and then you guys are giving me distances. But it's 1.7 tons.
Wow. Yeah. I was pretty close, 2 tons. But I went over, Price or Right rules.
But I was thinking maybe it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I've never seen it, but maybe you actually knew the fact ahead of time. Is that true?
No, I didn't. I wish I had that fact just already on my back
burner. That's why you'll never get a job.
Do you really want this job, Roger?
I do, yeah.
Next one. Mondo donut is around 200 calories less than a bagel and cream cheese.
Oh.
I had really? No idea. But apparently a bagel is kind of like a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Dang. I can see that. It's like just loaf? Dense, right? Yeah. It's just dense like bread. Super dense bread.
Yeah.
Cream cheese is pretty calorie heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, I love bagels. I mean, that's my problem. I just stopped eating bagels. I never knew. Voodoo Donut once offered donuts covered in Pepto-Bismol, but the FDA had to stop them.
Oh, really? Gross.
Pretty gross. You guys know why cops are associated with donuts?
Why? They were open 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. And in the 1950s, they needed a place to do their paperwork, and that was the only thing they could do, the only place they could go at night.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
That's neat.
In France, donuts used to be called pet de nonne. None? I don't know how to say. How do you do it? Anyone know how to say French?
No.
Petit mort.
Petit mort. Which translates to nun's farts.
What?
Yeah, in France, donuts used to be called nun farts.
Tasty little nun farts, yeah. Huh?
That's weird.
I imagine. That's fucked up.
Say it. You can edit it out. That's why I hear it.
Maybe nuns used to.
Why?
Just to make it more streamlined.
So God didn't hear it. Yeah. Maybe nuns don't want God to smell. Don't want God to smell their farts, so they fart on donuts, so it smells sweet.
Nuns use like donuts as like a fart silencer, so like God doesn't hear. the powdered sugar just goes.
If it was me, I would use an apple fritter to silence my fart because it's the densest of the donuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm more of a bear claw man, so mine goes rawr.
I would use one of the twists and I could just kind of corkscrew it up my bee hole.
I would get a bunch of donut holes and just shoot them out like BBs.
You killed the man at one time.
Yeah. Killed him with kindness. Gave him a bunch of treats. they weren't chocolate covered when they went in.
Oh, no.
I hate the last 3 minutes. What has happened?
Not good content.
Oh my god. Okay, last one. There are about 2,000 people in the U.S. that have been named after types of donuts.
Really?
Yeah. So like
fritter.
There's a fritter. There have been a bunch of people named Sugar, Sprinkles, Bear Claw, and Long John, which is the name of the long skinny bar.
Oh,
weird. I think it might be. I wouldn't be opposed to naming my kid Old Fashioned. That's a kind of donut.
Oh, that's cool.
And also a good name
old
for a kid.
Old Fashioned. Oh, I don't want to say your last
old
name, so then they'll get you.
I don't care. Old Fashioned Beer's Born.
Yeah, I'm going to name my kid Old Fashioned too. Old Fashioned Rosinante.
Uh-huh. Well, do you guys know the Old Fashioned donut? That's the one with the little, it's like a ring, but it has the weird little chunks hanging off the sides.
I love Old Fashioned donuts.
Oh. Yeah, those are so good.
Is that the Danish version? Like the old style? Maybe.
We should look into why that one's called the old fashioned.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love those. Those are my.
I didn't do that research.
Man, all I want to do is go eat a donut right now.
I think I can name every kind of donut. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how we would test that, I'm just going to throw that out.
Should
there.
We end with like a credit song, and it will just be Roger listing donuts as he fades away?
Yeah. We could do the 88 lines about 44 donuts.
Hey, like that's really good. Rap. Let's hear your 88 lines rap. Give us.
All right. So, old fashioned, buttermilk, crawler, twist, bear claw, fritter, raised, cake, long johns,
chocolate drop.
That's all of them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. Oh, donut holes. I think that's it. That's all of them.
There's like 30 donuts to pick from whenever I go into a donut shop, Roger.
Yeah, but those are different flavors of those categories.
Right, there's only certain types. Polars,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different, was it phylum?
Oh, there's also the cronut.
Genus. Yeah, cronut.
Cronut. That's it.
Cool. We got them. Okay. Hey, if you like what we're doing, shoot us an email, storyholepodcast@gmail.com.
Tell all your friends and your loved ones to listen to this podcast.
And follow us and make your loved ones follow us on Instagram.
Make love to your loved ones.
Yeah. Make love to your loved ones.
tell the people you love that you love them. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.